I've kept alluding today that today's message is going to be a little different. Of course, if you've been around me long enough, you know, you never know what to expect. I was in a service yesterday, and the pastor, he pastors a church of 3,000 down in Cincinnati, and he was talking about that. He said, you never know what to expect, and then he poured his glass of water over his head while he's preaching. Praise God. Of course, you could see he was sweating up there, too. But I'm not pouring water over my head today, so. But what I do want to do is, first off, the title for today's message is going to be God, Country, and Core. Yes, this is a military-themed message. If you know anything about me, it's because that is my background. Oh, but Pastor, you only spent 4 years. Those were the formable years of my life, and they've made me who I am. And because of that, there's a message in God, Country, and Core. And we're going to look at that today. And if you want to know how to spell core, it's C-O-R-P-S. It's core, not corpse. Corpse is with an E. There are three things that are important to God. Actually, there's really two because you qualify for the second one. It's our love for Him. And our love for each other. And what today's message is going to be about is the priority we have things. Do we have our things in the right priority? God. Well, let's turn to Mark. Go to Mark chapter 8. You know what? I even marked it and didn't start there. Mark chapter 8. I'll go to verse 34. I'm going to start reading in the red letter, so if you don't have that, you'll pick up real quick. Mark chapter 8, verse 34. It says, whoever desires to come after me, let him deny himself and take up his cross and follow me. Verse 35, for whoever desires to save his life will lose it, but whoever loses his life for my sake and the gospel's will save it. See, when I enlisted in the military, there was a lot of things I did not understand. A lot of things I didn't understand. And one of the things, though, that I do now understand is there is a priority. Now, and I have no idea if this is even taught in the military at all today because of the way our government has come down on our military for being patriotic, for being right, for standing for what's right. And although there's a lot of wrong that happens there as well, but there were some things that I did not understand. But one of the things that they did teach me while I was in boot camp was the value of God, country, and core. Because you see, as most, unless you were raised in a military home and you have that background and your father or your mother really instilled it, you know, you can ask my boys, they don't get a whole lot, they don't get a day that doesn't go by without something from dad. Whether it's dad calling cadence throughout the house or something like that. But so when I went in, there was some things I didn't. I said, okay, yeah, Lord, I know you're supposed to be number one. Yeah, I know that. The first and greatest commandment is to love the Lord your God with all your heart, body, and soul. I know that, Lord. And Jesus told us here in Mark chapter 8. He said, you need to die to yourself. That's a hard thing to do, folks. It really is. To put your desires, to put what you want to do behind what God wants. Because how many times, because I promise you, and I stand here and I tell you, you've heard this before, never in a million years was it my intention to become a preacher. Never. I saw myself as anything but a preacher. I saw myself as a truck driver, as a mechanic, as a carpenter. I saw myself living in a cabin in the woods with nobody around. Well, that's kind of hard to do when you have a family of five. I was kind of like Joshua. He jokes about this. He says, well, I'm getting married. I'm living alone. I never saw myself as a preacher. So for me to say, yes, Lord, when He called me into this ministry, meant that I had to put my desires on the back burner. See, at that time, I had just started a construction business. And you can ask Angela, I did not plan on just piddling around doing little one-man jobs all the time. I wanted to have an entire crew. I wanted to have a real construction business. So that was my desire. I wanted to employ people. And then God drops the bomb on me. I want you to become a pastor. And those of you that know, I told God no. There's one of two things that happens, or not happens, but there's one of two types of people who tell God no. The insane and the real gutsy. I don't know which one I qualify for yet. Because most of the time, stupidity borders on the line of doing things insane. But to tell God no, it's not really where you want to be. However, I do realize why God told me the way He told me, how and everything. It was because of my military training. Of the instant willing obedience to orders. That I did it regardless of what I thought. I had no clue what was going to happen. I said, Lord, I don't know nothing about being a pastor. I don't know how to do this. And you and I both know how well I got along in school. And now you're telling me I'm going to have to go to school for 4 more years? Well, God had other plans. He sent me to another Marine pastor. He said, this is the one who's going to ordain you. He's the one who's going to make sure that you are what you're saying you are. So for us to lay down our lives means that we got to put our plans on the back burner. But that's my plan, Lord. That's what's going to make me happy. Are you sure that's going to make you happy? How many times have you gotten into something you thought, oh, this is, I'm going to be so happy if I do this or if I get this? Anybody relate with that? Oh, I'm just going to be so thrilled. I remember the nativity that I had as a pulley. This was before I had enlisted, but I hadn't gone to boot camp yet. I remember how excited I was and how much fun this was going to be. Primarily because I was going to get paid. I didn't care. I didn't have a job. $600 a month was $600 a month. It was $600 more than I had the month before. And I heard people, and let me tell you what, I'm going to tell you something right now. A lot of people who have never been there, done that, will tell you how bad and hard it's going to be. I was amazed at how many experts there were on Marine Corps boot camp. And not a one of them had ever talked to a Marine recruiter. Well, maybe they had talked to him, but that was as far as they got. Can I tell you what I found out? It was worse. I remember standing on those yellow footprints thinking, what did I do? What have I done? It is 3 o'clock in the morning and I'm standing on yellow footprints like I don't know how to stand. I got to go to the bathroom, but they won't let me. I'm thirsty, but they won't give me a drink. Then they take me in a big room, tell me put my face down or put my head down on my arms, but not go to sleep. I've been without sleep for 24 hours now. What do you think's going to happen? When I awoke, my arms were soaked. And I looked up and around, and everybody else was asleep. Some of them were snoring. But I remember going in thinking, oh, this will make me so happy. I'm just going to go in and I'm going to find so much joy. I'm going to find this. I'm going to find that. I found a lot of garbage first, what I would consider garbage. It wasn't what I thought. But standing here on this side of boot camp, this side of my honorable discharge, I can tell you, I would do it again. I would do it all over. I didn't find what I was looking for. I found what God was looking for. So what Art thought he was going to find wasn't what was going to make him happy. See, I didn't join the military out of duty. I joined the military to get out of Morrow County. I had no intentions of ever coming back to Morrow County. As a matter of fact, I was talking 20 years. In June of 1989, people, I'm staying in for 20 years, I said. I made it four. I said, okay, I've had enough of the game. Put my basketball down and walked out. On good terms. But it was only until I started putting things back. I had no idea at that time in my life that it was God's will for me to enlist in the military. No idea. And honestly, today, to this day, I will ask you, people have come to me and they say, Pastor, what do you think I should join? Which branch? And I'm going to tell you, I'm biased. But I'm also, I will use my head. Not everybody's cut out to be a Marine. No, it's not necessarily the physical, the hardest. But I will promise you, I saw guys who were prior service quitting. I saw a Tennessee State Trooper who couldn't make it. So I will tell them, why are you joining? Why do you want to enlist? If you want to enlist for a job, join the Air Force. They've got nicer barracks, better pay, better food, the whole nine. They don't even make their own beds. At least the ones I talked to didn't. I remember talking to him. I said, oh yeah, how often do you guys go to the rifle range? The guy looked at me and said, what do you mean? Well, how often do you qualify with your weapon? We don't have weapons. They do now. But at that time in life, they didn't. I did not understand that for me to be happy, I needed to put God really first. I needed to put everything, my desires, on the back burner. Well, God, this is where I want my life to go. In 20 years, I want to retire. By the way, 20 years was in 2009 for me. If you stop and think about that, I could be a retiree. Just boggles my mind. And in a couple years, my younger brother will be retired from the military. He's 6 years younger than me, so. I mean, that just. But he's still young. He's still got a whole life ahead. 20 years in life is nothing. We've been married for 20 years, and it just, don't know where it all went. Sometimes it still feels like we're the new kids on the block. We're back in Morrow County. I've been back in Morrow County since 1995. That's 16 years. By the way, I'm back here because of what I learned, that I need to put God first. We learned while we were in the, like I said, you know, even though I was the one who wore the uniform, I'm going to tell you right now, a military wife has a hard job too. They always sold a shirt in the PX that said the hardest Marine job is of the Marine wife. Something to that effect. Because they're the ones that's got to deal with the jarhead that comes home every night. Who's been putting up with some stupid private, some pinheaded corporal, some boneheaded sergeant major. And they got to calm him down. They got to call him, get him down out of the tree. But we learned that if we put God's desires first is where we would find happiness. When I moved to Jacksonville, I said, there are certain parts of this country that are, they're just butt ugly in the fall. And that part of North Carolina is one of them. The only thing you got are some pine trees. The grass turns brown, and I'm talking tan brown. It's crispy. The pine trees are all you have. Any deciduous trees, their leaves are gone. They didn't really turn all the fancy colors we see around here. They just fall off. You got the smell of swamp gas, so it smells like a sewer plant the whole time. I moved down there, and I'm thinking, I do not want to stay here. A year and a half, and I'm out of Dodge. A year and a half rolled around, and God said, I want you to stay. But by that time, we had grown up enough, and we said, yes, Lord, we will stay. It was only when we started putting God first that we actually find out what was happiness. We found a church family that loved us, people we didn't know. They took us right in, loved us. They knew we were military, and they knew we could leave it on the notice in a heartbeat. We could be gone. But it was only when we said, yes, Lord, that we started finding that real happiness. Because you see, we put God's plans ahead of ours. Well, what did that have to do with anything? Okay, now we come down to country. What does country mean? It's not talking about our land. It's not talking about the dirt. It's the same dirt in Europe. He's not talking about the United States of America when we're talking about country. He's talking about the people. It's the people. They instill in us then at that point that we do this for God. That's why I said I'm kind of wondering if they're even teaching this anymore. Then we do it not for ourselves, but for the people. Jesus told us in John chapter 15, verse 13, he says, no greater love has any man that he would lay down his life for his friends. Now, I will stop right there. That has a twofold meaning. Yes, it does mean to lay your life down, to put it in harm's way. But it also means you put your desires after theirs. You do what is best for them. Because what is always good for might be good for you isn't always good for them. Right now, Joshua's got the metabolism. The kid can eat. Sat down, Domi said, I sat down with three boxes of cookies the other night. Do you know what would happen to me if I sat down with those three boxes of cookies? It's not going to be a good thing. Because I sat down with a little stack of them. He brought home some Chips Ahoy. And I thought they were Jesse's. And I thought, well, it's in my house. There's a tax. Y'all, any other parents have that? There's a tax. It's in my house. I'm eating some. We always have an... They come up, Mommy, will you open this? Yeah, but there's a tax. I get the first bite. So we have that tax. So I thought, well, they're in my house. I grabbed me a little glass of milk and some of those Chips Ahoy cookies, and I'm walking to the house. Angela says, you know, they really shouldn't be called Chips Ahoy in our house. They should be called Chips Bon Voyage because they don't last long. Joshua's like, how many cookies do I got left? He opens up, my goodness, how many did you guys eat? By the way, I wasn't the only one eating them. And that whole other side was gone before I got there. But we can't do everything that just pleases us. We have to think about these other people. And that's where we're at in this country. We're not thinking about our generations behind us with this budget. Come on, it's stupid. Let's just keep passing the debt down. How about we go back to the way the founding fathers did it? Do you know this country started? Nobody had any money together, and they put one man, Haim Solomon, in charge. By the way, the man was a Jew. You want to know how to make money? Find a Jew. They've got the blessing of Abraham. He funded the Revolutionary War. But yet, our Congress, our Senate, our President, they're not concerned about how this is affecting everybody. I don't want my 5-year-old to have his children still looking and thinking, if Dad's generation had only voted with their heads. We were promised jobs, where are they at? I like the bumper sticker that says, I'll keep my gun, you keep the change. Listen, ladies and gentlemen, they're here to steal liberty. We can no longer just sit by and say, oh, well, this is what's going to happen. You're the boss. President Obama is not the boss. He is a representative of this country to other countries on our behalf. That is it.
He is not the policymaker. You're the policymaker. And I heard somebody say this, and this is the way I have believed for a long time. I don't care if you're Republican, Democrat, Tea Party, or whatever it is. I want to know your character. Because I'm going to tell you right now, a lot of Republicans were voted in based on what the party's supposed to stand for, and they turned around and they bit us like a snake. I don't vote necessarily party. I'll just tell you that right now. I want to know the character of the man. Rob could sit in here and tell me, oh, Pastor Art, I'm running on this platform right here. Oh, that's great. And then I get in there and find out, Rob's a communist. He's not. Right, Rob? No. I've known Rob since we were teenagers. But you see, we're not thinking about the country. When they say the country, all everybody sees is buildings and houses and roads. You're the country. That's why there's so much problems. Nobody's thinking about the people. Oh, okay, yeah, here's what we're going to do. We're going to take money that has no value to it at all now. We're going to print some more, and then we're going to create more food stamps, and we're going to keep extending unemployment. How much longer can you extend it? How about making some jobs? And I'm dead set on this, folks. These companies that are sending this stuff out of the country? Why? Why are we buying? Listen, the Camaro is one of the sharpest cars they've made in a long time. But you know where it's made completely? It's not in the United States. You're keeping Canada well supported in their socialist government. It's one of the best looking cars, but it's made solely in Canada. So what are they running, about 40,000? And they are one of the hottest selling cars right now. I'm not just up. Listen, pickup trucks, although they've taken a big tank because of the gas prices. Why? Because we're not thinking. We're thinking about right now. I praise God that our founding fathers did not sit here and say, oh, well, let's see, how's this going to affect us right now? Now, do you guys do realize, you know, all you 55 gentlemen in here who are going to sign this Declaration of Independence, you do realize that they could come in and they could take your homes. They could kill you for treason, because that is exactly what the declaration was. It was a declaration of treason. They could come in, they could take everything you own. They're going to take your children, they're going to take your wives, and they will probably kill you. I do not know exactly what the number is, but you can look it up. The vast majority of them were either killed in the war or they lost everything. And they did it for us. You understand now? They put their immediate comfort on the back burner, and they said, we're doing this thing right here because this is what's right. This country was originally not to be founded on greed and manipulation, but that's exactly where it ended up at. When the pilgrims came across on the Mayflower, they weren't coming over here to kill the Indians. Does anybody not notice they got along with them? It was the greedy people. They were coming across to share the gospel of Jesus Christ with them. And because they decided to come across and they thought about the people that were already here, they accepted them in and they helped them survive. I have to think about the Jamestown settlement. They didn't get much help down there. Why? Because they were here for gold. They were here for greed. We have to put our desires on the back burner. Okay, let's see. What have we got? 55, 60 people? And you get all of them together. And I have one decision to make. On one side, it's going to make me rich. The other side, it's going to keep everybody else fed. Do you know what the way people are choosing today? They're choosing to get rich. There is no oil shortage. I'm sorry, there is no oil shortage. There's no oil shortage when Exxon and BP and all these guys post record-breaking profits. I have no I understand business. You need to make a profit to stay afloat. Record-breaking by billions of dollars? Don't tell me there's a shortage. They tried to tell us that about the natural gas several years ago. Anybody on natural gas knows what I'm talking about. I went from like 0.33 cents a cubic hundred foot to up to $1.09. The gas never got short. There's lots of gas in this world. And if there's such a shortage, why aren't we figuring out how to burn the methane gas that they're burning off and out the golf course on the south side of Columbus, where the dump used to be? There's dumps all over this country producing methane gas, and they just got torches burning it. Let's develop the technology. Oh, no, but we need to find clean energy. Well, you know, I agree that we need to find better sources of energy. And I like, you know, I had to follow a semi the other day who had his injection pump turned way too high because he was bobtailing. Means he didn't have a trailer. And so he just coated us in that black soot. And after working on diesels for quite a few years, I'm not a big fan of smelling it anymore. But, yeah, we need some clean sources. Let's start thinking about what it's going to do. I want my boys, you know, because of everything that's happening, there's things that I got to do as a child, but my kids will never get to do. Because we don't think about how this is affecting other people. Why? Because we do not live according to the ordinances of the Bible. Let me tell you a little something else, folks. I believe God's called many, many people, many godly men and women, to be in roles in government, but they don't think that we should be there. I'm not talking religion. I'm talking about godly, moral people. You can keep religion. You can stuff that in your pipe and smoke it for all I care. I'm not about religion. I'm about thinking about other people and how my actions are going to affect them. Now, if you go out in an intersection and you just pull out in front of it and blow the stop sign, who are you thinking about? You're not thinking about anybody, are you? You're thinking about yourself. I want to get across there first. But you don't even have the right of way, and the mother of four coming through there in her minivan, who you've now caused to hit you, she's unconscious, the children are unconscious. Who were you thinking about? Self. We don't think about other people. We've still got ourselves above other people in our list of priorities. Now, I realize that there are insinuating circumstances. Sometimes you have to make a decision, and it may not work out for everybody. And I will promise you, I will just go ahead and stand here, I will promise you, you will never make the right decision for everybody. That's just it. But you have to make the closest decision that you can on things. Now the next one. Corps. In the Marine Corps, that's a real easy thing. That's our unit. That's us. Then we start thinking about us, maintaining our welfare. Got to put ourselves in that list. Jesus told us to love our neighbor as we do ourselves, right? So, you know, Jason, you got to love yourself too, man. But you got to love brother first. You got to love God above that. And by the way, you can't love God until you love your brother. So don't sit here and say, well, I don't know, but I can't love that person. They're just unlovable. Stop and think about not the thief that went into paradise with Jesus, but the thief who didn't. Jesus was hanging there for him. Do you know why the homosexual agenda is so big today? Which, by the way, if every person who believed the way God says, then we wouldn't have gay marriage and none of this stuff happening. And it's wrong. I'm sorry. You can choose to believe what you want to believe. I believe my Bible. My Bible has stood the test of time. But I'm going to tell you, here's what's happened. We didn't love the people. That was it. You're gay. Okay, well, you're weird. You're whatever. You're this, 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 and this. We've labeled them. Now, there's some of them, I'm going to admit, they go over the top. But we pushed them away. I'm not saying that, you know, okay, you can come in. I'm going to tell you right now, you need delivered. Because it's not right. It does not produce life. Two women do not produce life. I don't care. I don't care if Doogie and his lover do have children. They didn't do it without the help of a woman. And that's the way God created us, male and female, so we could produce life. Those situations do not produce life. And this whole marriage thing, do you know what they say? It's our happiness. A list of hands of everybody who has found that marriage brought you all the happiness you ever needed. Nobody. Because marriage is not the source of the happiness. Marriage is a legal contract. That's it. It's the love. They've spent billions of dollars on this stupid thing. Just to find out now we get to qualify for divorces. Yeah, I ain't found too many of them, to be honest with you. They keep talking about tax breaks. I'm like, what tax breaks? I ain't getting that many tax breaks. We have to think on ourselves as well. But we cannot put ourselves above others and above God. Like I said, when we do that, we've got our priorities out of whack. I saw a gal, and I'm sure that the t-shirt was a joke. It was a motorcycle t-shirt, and on the back, it had 1, 2, 3, and on top it said God, number 2 was bike, number 3 was husband. And it said, and in that order. Like I said, I'm pretty sure it was a joke. But you know, but there's a lot of people that have that. I know guys who put recreation over their family. Listen, a man is not a man if he doesn't spend time with his children. You're a sperm donor. You're no different than a bull in a pen. You're selfish, you're self-centered. We have children growing up with two parents today that don't know one of them because the other one does everything. You want to be a man? Spend time with your kids. I read a t-shirt years ago that says anybody can be a father, but it takes somebody special to be a daddy. And that's the truth. Anybody can be a donor. But it takes somebody special who's going to stand there. Who's going to go through them with their teens. Angela had a revelation last night that was kind of, I don't know if it was troubling for me. We have a friend, it's Elaine. She said, I now have 3 teenagers. It's official, I have 3 teenagers in the house. And Angela had commented on her post on Facebook, and then Angela sat down and said, you know, we'll only have 2 at any given time. However, she said, just so you know, we have 17 more years of teenagers. I'll be 59. And you'll be right behind me, Rob. I'm just going to keep letting you know that. You're right behind me, man. I'll be 59 still before my last teenager's gone. Well, until they're 20, yeah. Yeah, I'll have to do the math on that one, but anyhow. So, you do need to love yourself. I don't want you running around thinking, well, I gotta make sure I'm doing... Listen, I want you to take care of your families. But you do, listen, moms and dads... You do need a little time away. Without. Can I have this? Can I have that? Can I eat this? He's touching me. You know my reply to that? He's touching me? I'm going to touch all of you. We're going to get this over with. And nobody's going to be happy. So figure it out on your own.
I tried, when we went on vacation in June, I tried the, we had, it was supposed to be just a 10-hour trip. We took 12 because we stopped for lunch. I know back in the day, that 10-hour trip would have been an 8-hour trip. No, you got to go, tough. You're holding it. Oh, no, we're not stopping. When you don't get to stretch your legs at the gas station. You just stay there. You hold it. You eat the crackers that I gave you. But we got going down the road. I think it was after Cincinnati. We were into Kentucky. And all the boys had woke up and, you know, we'd eaten breakfast. And, you know, after the boys wake up, they've eaten breakfast, they're feeling ornery. They know we just began the trip. And it was it 10 miles into Kentucky? He's touching me! Boys, we are only 4 hours away from home. We will turn around and go back, and Mom and I will go on vacation. Didn't work. There were several times I threatened to go get duct tape. Tape them to their seats. Their hands to their knees. You know. Come on, y'all laugh. Some of you looking at me like I'm crazy. This country is in the shape it's in because we've gotten those three things out of order. Not in a military purpose, completely out of order. God is no longer our top priority. We've kicked him out of the schools. We've kicked him out of the churches. You don't dare teach the Word of God in a church. People want to go through and pick and choose. God said what he said for a reason. We've kicked God out of our homes. I drove down the road, was driving over here this morning, just taking a nice leisurely cruise on my bike, and as I looked around, I saw people packing up their lawn chairs. Where's God? Now, you know, they may be going on vacation. I don't know. But the thing is, do you know what the population of Morrow County is? It's 36,000. Do you know what the percentage of Morrow County that goes to church is? 2%. 2%. And I will tell you something. There's a reason they don't believe in God. Because they've been told that God did this and God did that. I remember reading in the paper a couple weeks ago about the tornado that went through Cardington. I don't remember the gal's name, but she said, I remember telling my children that God and the devil are having a fight. Okay. So what's that child supposed to believe about God? That God came down and didn't care about them and destroyed their home and maybe killed their family. That's what that child now believes. How about we call it what it is? A high pressure and a low pressure collided. And you've got a tornado. No, but the church says, no, 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 we don't want nothing scientific. Science isn't of God. God is the chief scientist. Scientist went to God one day. He said, God, we don't need you anymore. God says, really? He says, yeah, we can create life. We can make man ourselves from the dust. God says, well, that's interesting. I'd like to see this. Scientist kneels down there. He starts taking the dirt and he starts forming it up. And God says, time out for a second, son. Go get your own dirt. Look at your body and don't tell me that God is not a scientist. I mean, think about it. You grow two sets of teeth. I kind of wish we'd grow three. Some of you know what I'm talking about. Yeah, without having to go see the dentist.
Our skin is constantly replenishing itself. Our organs renew themselves every 7 years if we've taken care of our body. By the way, he's made our body to need exercise. We do need that. We need to work. And yet we've told God we don't need him. God, this is what happens. We know now science says this, this, and this. Who do you think put it all into process? Do you think, seriously, I thought about this the other day. If evolution is true, then you should still see monkeys evolving today. Right? They should still be evolving if evolution is true. It shouldn't just stop at us. As a matter of fact, we should have evolved to something else. Something that knows how to get along. But no. There's this four-letter word. It's called will. And in the case of God, country, and core, all are affected by our will. Will we put God first? Will we put him back first in this country? You know, the unfortunate thing, we do have a National Day of Prayer. I think it's a really, it is a great thing. Until I went to one. I'm sorry, I'm just telling you my opinion, my view of it. I went there and all I saw was a religious service with 5 minutes of prayer. I was there for an hour while I heard somebody recite a poem. Another kids choir come up and sing a song. This country needs prayer. It doesn't need us entertaining people anymore. Church is not about entertainment. Now we can... I mean, I went to a service. I mean, they had some great effects to try to drive the point home. I thought it was great. But how many people were there? Oh, this is cool. This is entertainment. You want entertainment? Sit down and watch a movie. You come to church. You come to stir love up in each other. You come to hear the word. You come to praise the Lord as your highest priority. You just have to sit and listen to me. I'm sorry. That's your, you know, if I believed in purgatory, I would say that's your purgatory. But we have got to get God first. Back in this country. And when I say back in this country, folks, it would not hurt us to get God first in our businesses again. I'm talking about Sunday, which, by the way, Saturday is technically the Sabbath. I'm not going to fight people on that. It is technically the Sabbath. The Christian church gave God Sunday as the tithe. You're supposed to be horsing around and playing on Saturday. Oh, but I got 2 days I can go boating. Or riding my bike. No, you got 1 day. Go ride your bike. Come back and then go ride in the afternoon. I'm disappearing this afternoon. I got a new battery in my bike and it's running good. Top that tank off and we'll see where the road takes us. But people have kicked God out of their homes. They no longer acknowledge him at the blessing of the food. They never talk about God. The only times the children hear anything about God is when they're cursing something. Because God is not a priority to us anymore. They never hear that God is good. All they hear is, I had it better. I had money. Seriously, money doesn't buy you happiness. Has anybody figured that out yet? Because if it did, then why did Amy Winehouse feel it necessary to spend her life in drugs and alcohol? She had all the money she could ever want. It never bought her the happiness or the peace that she was looking for. So what was she, 24? Something like that, 27? 27? It doesn't answer it. The world is looking for God today, and we have got to be that example. Now, having said all that, I'm not going to get too much into this one today. What does this community need? I'm asking people. What do we really need? And don't tell me we need another ball field, because then we'll have people leaving church again to go play ball. We got plenty of ball fields. There are ball fields all over the place. We don't need another sport. What does this community mean? I do know, I talked to the commissioners, and I do know that I talked about the homeless, and when they did the homeless count, I forget exactly what the percentage was, but the vast majority of those who were homeless were male, and they were veterans. All of them. Now, I'll be honest with you, as a veteran, there shouldn't be one homeless veteran. Somebody who said, here's my life, take it. Use it and abuse it, should not be homeless. So that is one area I can promise you we will be trying to have an effect in. So what else? We got hoodlums running around thinking they're gangbangers, painting east side homicide garbage all over the backside of people's buildings. You're in Mount Gilead. This ain't L.A., man. East side. Oh, I couldn't remember when I saw. I said, what on earth? Joshua says, yeah, that's east side homicide stuff, Dad. I'm like, I think I saw these. I don't know how Joshua said he heard that they were caught. I said, I think I saw them one day. There's these. It was just a motley crew of boys just wearing whatever. Looked like whatever they found out of the trash bag. Walking across the street. I about dropped my bike laughing. I was like, oh, I can promise you got a spray can somewhere in your pocket. But seriously, what do we do? I've lived in Morrow County the vast majority of my life. Some of you were born here, raised here your whole life. We are going to push in. We're going to make a difference in this community. They may not think they want help, but they need help. I said, we're not talking about going in and we've got food shelter. We got food pantries, folks. Plenty of food pantries. And beyond, the unfortunate thing is, it's the same people. They've got it on a rotation. We've actually had a gal call here one time, needed some food. We ended up taking her some because they know the right cards to play. My baby. My baby. I'm not going to let a kid go hungry. But when I show up to your house and you ain't home to get the food and you expect me to leave meat, you're nuts. But she said, I go to the food pantries and shelters and stuff like this. You know that, and she says, in this church here, they're not going to be doing anything until Monday. Now, wait a minute. You are living in a welfare society. I'm not talking about welfare. Even we do something for the homeless, there's one thing I do believe is you build up people. You don't cripple them. And that's what welfare did. Welfare crippled people. We need to make an impact as a church. I'm talking, we're no longer talking vaguely as individuals. I'm talking collectively as at his feet. We need to make a real impact. We need to do something that is a real help to people. There are lots of little things you can do as an individual. There's Meals on Wheels. If you've got the time, I will tell you, there is no greater rewarding thing than to do that. Yeah, you're not going to be welcomed by all the people. Some of them weren't really all that friendly. But those that were really truly appreciative of it, I literally had to pry myself away because you got 2 minutes to drop it and get going. And those that were really appreciative of it, you don't realize what that means to them. So if you're looking for something to do yourself, there you go. It takes an hour. You know, again, like I said, as a small community, we all know there's not a whole lot. Kids just run the street, and we wonder why drugs are running through Morrow County like water. Now, Marion, they busted a meth lab last week, but they said that it was really a strange thing to find a meth lab. But they did say because the reason that they are starting to find them more and more around, and by they're here in Morrow County too, is because they've busted down so hard on Columbus on the meth labs that there's a shortage of meth. And so the outer counties are producing it. We've prayed, we pray against that. And God has, there's been serious busts of drugs. We started praying against the sex slave trade, the human trafficking. I personally noticed one business that shut its doors that would have been prone to it. But we do have children in this community who have nothing. Oh, but they can play Little League. Not every kid wants to play ball. I say the children are probably a big key in it. And when I say we, I mean we. We will do it. I'm not going to say that I'm just going to go out there and I'm going to be the one hammering all this stuff. When I say we, I mean we got to come together. There's a whole world that's going to hell right now because they don't know Jesus Christ. A lot of these little kids, they don't even know who Jesus is. I will tell you, folks, my parents weren't even saved and I knew God. I knew who God was. I knew about Jesus. And my parents were hellions. I'll just put it that way. If there was a party, they were at it. There's a whole generation now that doesn't know anything about God. And part of it is because the church has gotten its priorities wrong. We quit talking about God. Oh, it's not popular to talk about God. It's not popular to talk about the things that are going on in the world today and what God's stand is on it. I thought that was the point of the church. Because it's affecting us. Now we're being told, well, you need to be seeker sensitive. You need to be sensitive that if a Muslim walks in, listen, Muslim is welcome to come in here. He will not practice his religion. His religion is of the darkness. I'm sorry. He's from Ishmael. Those of you who are here Wednesday night, we talked about Ishmael. God told Hagar that he will be a wild man and his hand will be at everybody's throat and everybody's hand will be at his throat. In other words, he's always going to be fighting. And all the Muslims claim Ishmael as their father. That's why they claim Abraham too. We're letting our communities go because we don't believe the Bible. We show up for church. We open our little precious little hymnals. All power and glory. But they don't mean it. They don't mean what they're singing. They don't believe the word. They still see God as a bad guy. They see God as somebody who brings tornadoes. You know, a lot of people blame God for Katrina. If God loved people, he wouldn't have let that happen to New Orleans. I would have to say New Orleans is probably the second most sin-filled city in the United States next to Las Vegas. But here's what I heard come out of people who lived in New Orleans and saw what was happening. They said, you say this is God's judgment. We say it's God's mercy. It destroyed the barrios and the ghettos. And these people had to move. They had to get out of where they were at. I promise you today, folks, I would not have the same mindset if I had stayed in Chesterville, Ohio. That's where I grew up. I would not have this mindset. I would have this, oh, I'm just a country bumpkin. Listen, I call myself a redneck all day long. I don't claim to be some highfalutin preacher. I'm wearing biker boots and blue jeans right now. I rode in on a motorcycle. Probably got a few bugs caked in my hair. I'm not up here trying to sell you religion. I'm trying to show you what God's heart is and its people. So y'all be thinking about that. Because that is a posed question to you. What does this community really, really need? We're going to start here. I know we've got people from the Galleon area, from the Marengo area, Marion, Johnsville, the outlying areas of Morrow County. We got people from right here in Morrow. This church is in Mount Gilead. We're called to be a light. People can't come to the light if they can't see it. Not interested in, you know, again, we're not interested in getting people's accolades. I could care less about that. I could care less if they come and say thank you. Although it's always good. I'm not going to say it's not. But I don't care about that. Nobody appreciates us. Well, if we kept doing... Listen, how many of you parents have always felt that your kids always appreciated you? Did it stop you from being their parent? No. You still loved them. When you gave them something, did they always say thank you? Maybe after you made them come back. But you still loved them. And that's what we have to do to the world. And another point I'm going to throw up here and I'm going to wrap up. Jesus ministered not in the tabernacle. He ministered outside. He went to where people were at. He went to the marketplace. Because I'm going to tell you, you know what he did in the church? We'll call it the church of the time. The church is a new... You know, he did it twice. A lot of people think, but there's two separate times he did this. He went into town. He picks him up a stick. Starts picking him up some leather straps. By the time he gets to the temple, he's got a whip. And he cleaned the church because they weren't doing what they were supposed to be doing. They were about the business of church. We're not about business, folks. There's a certain amount we have to because our government says we have to. And the only reason they've done that now is because of charlatans who said, hey, this is easy money. I can get up and tell people about God and I can go run off with my girlfriend and all the offerings. That's why the government had to step in. Government should never be and had to come up with those laws. Because people have had Bible for quite a few years now. Read it. That's why they're printed, right? Last time I checked. So just keep in mind, when you go to the gas pump, you might have an opportunity for ministry. And you say, Pastor, I'm not real good. I understand people have different levels of communication skills. Here's one, we can all do it, and I'm going to ask you to do it. Okay, you ready? You can smile. Do you know what a smile 9 times out of 10 will bring from somebody else? Smile. And believe it or not, it does. It lifts you up as well as making them feel good. And then they might say something. And you never know. You might just get to lead somebody to the Lord. Or you may have just prevented somebody from going and sitting in their, taking that car they're filling up with gas, taking it to their garage, shutting the garage door, and leaving the car run until they die. And all you did was smile. That's how simple ministry really is. Jesus ministered in Samaria, and all he asked for was a drink of water. How easy is that? Can I have a drink of water? Started an entire conversation that led to people believing on Jesus. You can minister. I'm a pastor. They call us ministers, but I'm a pastor. It's my job to make sure that I'm stirring you up, because you're the real ministers. There are times I've said that's the only thing I kind of miss about not working outside of the church now. So I have to make sure I get out. Is when I was in business for myself, I got to talk to all kinds of people. And I do mean all kinds. Literally all kinds. Some of them you learn real quick. Step away from the door and run. I had a girl, or woman, she was much older than me, and her boyfriend lived in the garage in the apartment above, but she came to the door in her nightie. Oh, you can come. Oh, no, thank you. I'm going to stand right here on the front porch. You can go put some clothes on. You learn real quick. By the way, so use your head if you're ministering. Don't put yourself in a situation. If you're going into, you know, you got somebody and you know for a fact they got drugs and stuff laying on the table and they're making meth and heroin and all this stuff, use your head before you go in. Because DEA might be sitting there watching them too. And if you're in there, sorry about your luck. But you can still minister to them. I bet you guys, every last one of you probably know somebody that's doing drugs right now. I didn't realize when I went to Highland. I did not realize some of the kids that I grew up with were the biggest dope heads in the school. Oh, yeah, you didn't know that. Well, I just thought he was always sleepy. So you mean he was high and stoned? Yeah. The funny part is he's a cop now. I'm really hoping he got over the other previous life. I'll have to go through Belleville and see if I can find out. Maybe we'll find out. Maybe we'll go through Belleville today and kick him up. Nah, let's stand our feet. God is a good God. And you know what, folks? He loves you. He loves you just as much as he loves Billy Graham. Oh, but I haven't done as much as Billy Graham. Listen, God's love is not based on you competing with me. His love really isn't based on what you do or don't do. He loves you regardless. But if you love him, you'll do what he's asked. And he may not be asking you to be Billy Graham. He may be just asking you to be Billy Bob. Just reach out to your neighbor. Maybe reach out to the person sitting on the street corner that's always there day after day. Because as it turns out, they don't have a home. I'm not saying you got to take them into your home. But if God tells you to do that, you do your heart. Let's pray. Father, we thank you and we praise you. Lord, we thank you that your love is poured out on mankind. That while, Father, the earth holds a place in your heart, mankind is the apple of your eye. Father, I thank you for your love. For without it, we could not get anywhere. For without it, we couldn't do anything. Father, we thank you that you sent Jesus to die for us and to redeem us from our sins. Father, he paid a price so that we would not have to be held captivity any longer. Now, Lord, I ask that you cause your word to be illuminated to each one of us, that we get the revelation of who you are and of your great love. And that, Father, that we would start showing it more and more to those who don't know your love. And, Father, we think about it when we're in a line and somebody else is having a bad day, that we try to help them. Or that maybe that mother who needs a hand while she's trying to put groceries away in her cart. Father, we could assist, even in those small areas. Father, I'm going to ask you, Lord, to put one person in our paths this week that we can show the kindness that you've shown us. And now, Father, I thank you for these people. I bless them in Jesus' name. Father, bless their work. Bless their businesses. Father, cause business to come in. And cause your people to rise up. In Jesus' name, amen.